tell. Good choice, Mr. Bankstead. Welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Kirk Bankstead and Sarah Yacoub.
Our next guest is Dale Schultz, who was first elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly in 1982, 2 years before my birth, oh my goodness, as a Republican. He then went on to become a Republican state senator in 1991 and was the Republican majority leader in 2004. In 2011, Schultz was the only Senate Republican to vote against Act 10, the infamous bill that broke the back of the Wisconsin Teachers Union. In 2014, Schultz announced he would not seek re-election, citing an increasingly partisan atmosphere. Thank you so much for joining us, Senator Schultz.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for that very kind introduction. And I want to say, Pat, it's nice to see you again. You're absolutely ageless.
See, that's how we politicians, we know a thing or two here. I'm going to say I am actually very, very jealous. Dale is joining us from near the state capitol. Today was a reunion for state senators, not something that they do all the time. And I wasn't able because I was flying till late yesterday. I know we've got a lot to talk about current events, but since you're there, let's start with that, because like you were telling us during the break, it was a nice reminder of the collegiality that, ran across the aisle when you and I were serving.
Well, it was really a delightful time. And the minority leader when I was majority leader was Senator Judy Robson. And we gave each other a big hug. And she just immediately gushed about how much she appreciated me and how much she enjoyed serving with me. And I said, you know, Judy, you are a wonderful co-steward of this institution. And we managed to, I think, acquit ourselves pretty well, do a lot of things on a bipartisan basis. Yes, that we had our disagreements. I think people deserve a good argument about policy. But we kept it on policy, not letting it become personal. And that was pretty much, the highlight for me of the evening, to have that high praise from a person I truly respect and enjoyed working with.
Yep, it was great working with her, and of course, plenty of folks from both sides of the aisle back in the day, as I guess we get to say right now. The one bit of somewhat off-topic editorializing I'm going to do, but I wanted you to know how much I thought of you reading a book just over a year ago called When Republicans Were Progressive, written by former Minnesota U.S. Senator Dave Durenberger. And it was again, as somebody who was born and raised in St. Paul, a fascinating history of the Republican Party in Minnesota when it was arguably about as progressive in terms of looking out for working folks, looking out for families. And then he takes us through the journey of the post Watergate Reagan era, kind of the beginning of some changes in the Republican Party. And Dale, I know you're probably sick of all the compliments by now, but I have to say I thought of you while reading this book about the people that we could get along with, that we were both there to govern, to share the best ideas for governing, rather than always looking for the next fight.
Well, I think the two of us also were there to represent everyone, whether they voted for us or not. And that's something that I think we've lost, and I think that's terrible, because everybody ought to feel like they have a connection to government. And when they don't, they fall victim to fear and grievance. And that seems to be where we're at now in this country. Politicians, instead of being aspirational, I like to tell people, I'm a Republican who still believes in the 4th of July and the Statue of Liberty, and I want everyone to do better, and I want to work with everybody to make sure that we all get ahead. And when you're constantly trying to put, people back, you can't get ahead yourself, and we've lost that sense. But I think there are good people starting to step forward. Maybe they're a little rough around the edges, but I think they'll learn if they listen to the people. And they tell them sincerely that they want to work for them and with everybody to get things done. And I think you're going to be surprised in this upcoming election how well some of these people do. And your guest just on ahead of me, Ty, I can remember what it was like when I first got in this business and was a little nervous and didn't quite know how to vocalize it. But, you know, you get out there with the people, they make you feel good, and pretty soon your lips get a little looser, your mind flows a little freer, and politics becomes about ideas.
Let me respond to that. I was the same way. You know, I was a politician twice, and I didn't know. All I knew, I'm a Norwegian guy who's got huge emotions, but they like there's a huge skull that just doesn't let them out in the right way sometimes, and so you know, I was just boiling over with emotions on. We got to do the right thing, and that's what a lot of us Northern Wisconsinites are. We can't really. You know, we're not orators necessarily, but we know something's wrong and we want to fix it, and we just charge ahead. So that's why I respect Ty. I know he's in it for the right reasons. I want to follow up with a conversation with you. You know, I got you on the show today because you know, I had to make a real political decision, and I'm not a politician. I'm a brewer first and foremost, and you know, and I've gotten into politics, and I had to make a decision to support a Republican in the 7th congressional district. But I sell beer specifically to Democrats, and it really was a hard decision for me to make. I was really worried about that, and so I wanted to talk to you because you had to do the same thing. You had to buck your party. And I think because you did the right thing, you thought this Act 10 was just probably too much, going too far, and I wanted to kind of get back to that. That was seemingly, at least to me, the first, like, that was where Dale Schultz, you know, stood up, and maybe it was before that. I mean, I don't know Wisconsin history, but to me, that's like what Dale Schultz stood up and roared and said, this is me. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to put Wisconsin before my party.
Well, I'd like to think that over 32 years, that was who I was all the time. It just didn't seem to be quite so controversial. You know, I was always very proud of the fact that I was perennially one of the biggest vote getters in the state, facing tough challenges. And I always told people that my secret was that I had a lot of Democratic friends who maybe disagreed with me on a lot of issues, but they trusted me, and they wanted to succeed with their friends and neighbors. And they knew the way to get things done in a small rural community was to band together, overlook our differences, see them as actually strengths, and to discuss where we wanted to go, and then get there. And you know, I'm listening to Ty. I'm thinking, you give this guy enough time with some people in that district, and they're going to follow him. And I think that's exciting. And it's what kept me in politics all those years. It just, there comes a time when you go, it's time to leave. And 32 years was a long run. And I cherish it, and I remembered it a lot tonight. And I hope I can reminisce about it for many more reunions.
Well, I certainly look forward to reading the book that you haven't yet told us you're going to write. You know, I was a deputy district attorney in Los Angeles. I wasn't remotely political, but we would have the best conversations at lunch, people from all different political perspectives, and we would just talk about ideas. And what I'm hearing you say, and you and Pat reminiscing, is so refreshing. This idea that, you know, no one party has a monopoly on the right answer and the best answers to complex problems pull from both sides. And you need both sides to bring their A game so that the good solutions will shake out. But, you know, I'm thinking, is this an issue of leadership? Is this generational? I mean, how do we get that back in our political discourse?
Well, I think it's just common sense, and I think it's out there. It's just been a long time since anybody spoke to it. You know, I always felt that when I listened to other people who may be of a different political persuasion than me, that I had an opportunity to learn something. I also hoped that when my friends listened to me, that they also saw it as an opportunity to learn something. And when we finished that process, hopefully we came up with the best possible solution. That's the kind of aspirational politics that I believe in, and that I think in many ways is a tradition in this state. You know, you talked a little bit about progressivism before. Well, if you look where the wellspring of progressivism was in Wisconsin, it was up in Eau Claire with the Knowles boys in New Richmond. And it was down in my part of the state in Sauk County with the La Follettes. You know, I'm a pretty conservative guy, but I got some awful long progressive streaks in me. And I think it's a kind of a reflection of where I came from. And as long as I channeled the will of the people around me, I was in pretty good shape, and it worked for 32 years. What can I say?
So the question is, and we've been really positive so far, and I'm so happy that we have. It really like warms my heart. But I really think that the audience needs to hear from you. Like, I, you know, and obviously I'm progressive and I'm a Democrat, but I really think that one side of the aisle is lying, you know, is taking up a mantle of telling untruths and being dishonest. A lot of politicians are dishonest, but I think you might agree that I think the Republicans have gone off the rails a bit in Wisconsin and nationally. And I wanted to hear, if you agree with that, what do you think needs to happen to get them back on track?
Well, I think what Ty's doing is what has to happen. We have to challenge a lot of these people who have decided that they're going to decide who gets to be a Republican and what they should think. You know, where I come from, people are pretty proud of being independent and being a good Norwegian. I know you believe that, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? We need to call these people out, and we need to tell them, you don't get to decide who's a Republican. And the Republican Party has ebbed and flowed over the years and meant very different things to people. But if all you can do is say, he's a fake Republican, or he's nothing but a rhino, then you really don't have much to contribute to a conversation that people want to hear about the issues that affect them, the kitchen table issues, putting food on the table, being able to send a child to the university or afford good health care. Those are the things that people want to hear about. And if we focus on those things and get past the name calling, I think we've got real fertile territory, and I think Ty's got the right stuff.
And hopefully he would do something that you don't see often enough, and that is stand up, you know, to your own caucus or in your own caucus and say something like, hey guys, let's think about it this way. And so I want to see if I can draw out of you maybe one or two examples of times. We often don't get to talk about what happens behind closed caucus doors. So I'm going to go first and then see if there's anything that you care to share. The two examples immediately come to mind. One is when another freshman, Jim Sullivan, and I proposed that we were going to run as reformers, and that we were going to have the Iowa nonpartisan model of redistricting. And our majority leader at the time basically, you know, threw an F-bomb at us and said, nope, we're going to win in 2010 and we're going to draw the maps. Well, we know how well that worked out for the Democratic caucus. But the story I like to tell more is that, again, it was Senator Sullivan. We were clearly the more moderate Democrats in our caucus. And when they were working on the Healthy Wisconsin Healthcare Reform Initiative in 2007, we were adamant that there had to be co-pays, small, but co-pays on things, because it would get in the way of people overutilizing the system. And one very loud Madison area senator said, you don't understand. These are people that will die if there's a co-pay. They don't have money. I don't have money. He then went outside, as he often does, right outside my office window, and chain smoked an entire pack of cigarettes. We can guess during the break who that is. Did you have moments like that in your caucus where it was you or somebody else that said, you need to think about this differently? And maybe you got shot down, but at least you stood your ground.
You know, it actually happened quite frequently, and I would say my piece and then put them down as undecided.
sounds about,
you know,
right.
One of the things I learned in politics many, many years ago is don't waste your time with people who can't be bothered with new ideas because their mind's already made up. I'm a believer in John Maynard Keynes, who said, when confronted with new information, I sometimes change my mind. And you, sir? You know, I just think that we should listen to people, be respectful, if it's appropriate, we should change your mind. And if we think we're talking to a wall, let's just put them down as undecided and go on to the next person where we have an opportunity to build a coalition.
Man, that's so healthy. It's so healthy to hear that, Dale. And I literally, you know, I get emotional when I think about growing up in Wisconsin and what we used to be as a state and where we've gotten to now. And I feel like, you know, I didn't grow up in Mississippi, but I just feel like it must be like what they feel like. I just feel like I'm so happy that we're talking to you, and I wish we could get back to that place where we could all work together.
Well, I'm an optimist. I'm absolutely convinced that if we keep shoveling long enough, we're going to find the pony in the barn. And we just have to put our back to it and get on with it. You know, this state is still here. There are great people in the state. They work hard. They care about their neighbors. They worry about the future of this country. Yes, our economy is going through a bit of a rough patch. But, you know, I actually heard something from President Biden the other day that made me smile. He said, we're going to start paying down the national debt. When was the last time my party did that? No, every time there's a little extra money, they got to give out a tax cut. And generally, it doesn't come to the people who I used to represent, which always have made me mad. And folks I represent understand debt. The only difference is they had to pay theirs back. And they're wondering why their government can't do it. And I think it's a great thing. And I want to see a vote on that. And I want to see who votes not to pay down the national debt.
Love hearing that. Love hearing your voice. Please don't silence it anytime soon. Keep it up. And Dale Schultz, thanks again for your time. We sure appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And Pat, it's great to see you. And again, you're absolutely ageless.
Hear that, guys? Hear that? We'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment. We got together.